A foolish old farmer, so the story goes, concluded one day that the oats that fed his mule for years were costing him too much money. So he hatched a plan. He started mixing a little sawdust in with his feed. And then a little more the next day, and even more the next day, each time reducing the amount of oats in the mix in his food. The mule didn't seem to notice that this gradual change in his diet, and so the farmer started thinking things were fine. And he says, well, I'll just keep this up. And finally, he fed the poor beast nothing but sawdust one day, and the mule finished the meal and fell over dead. That's kind of silly. We know better than do that, right? But it serves as a parable for the backslider. The Christian who slips further and further away from God through unrepentant sin or neglect. We know that we cannot survive on spiritual sawdust. We can't. We might convince ourselves, though, that a little sawdust, spiritual sawdust, would be okay. It won't hurt. And you know what? If we just had a little less, it might not be too bad either. It won't be missed. Then over time, that spiritual sawdust increases while the spiritual food decreases. And before long, the real food eventually just disappears. And before long, the change is complete, and our starved, sawdust-stuffed spiritual life has collapsed. This is how Naomi found herself in Moab, with a dead husband and two dead sons. Didn't happen overnight. It very seldom does. It's a slow fade, if you will, when we begin feeding ourselves something other than God's word in our lives and our hearts. But she never meant for it to happen. But then one day, she woke up and found herself miles and miles away from where the Lord wanted her to be. And today's passage in Ruth, the first chapter, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 22. It's about how Naomi found her way home to Bethlehem, to the place of blessing. I know today that maybe some of you, and probably a lot of you out there on Facebook right now listening, you've allowed a little sin here or there, a little slackness there or there today, and you find yourself in a place spiritually that you never thought was possible. You look around at all that you've lost as a result of your backslidden condition, yes, your sin. And you wonder if there's hope to ever be restored spiritually. The answer to that question is a resounding yes. There is hope. The passage today says something about how that can happen in your life. So we're going to watch and read as Naomi returns to Bethlehem and thinks of how hard it's going to be to go back home. Guys, it's not easy to face your issues in life with people who you've hurt and you've wronged. It's easy for us to say, just go home. But you don't know what awaits there. You're wondering, am I going to be accepted? Will people shun me? All these things that Naomi was thinking about, people today are thinking about too. Those who have gone away from God and His church and His people, their lives have been misplaced in Moab. And their thought is they finally realize they need to come home, but they realize, will I be accepted at home? What will people say? And what will people think? So as we look in the first part of verse 19, it says, now the two of them, remember who's with her? Ruth. Her other daughter-in-law decided to go back to her home. And Ruth decided to adopt Naomi's home. My God will be your God. Your God will be my God. Your home will be my home. She recognized Naomi's God as the God, as her God. Now the trip from Moab to Bethlehem, where her home was, would have taken about 7 to 10 days. That would have required them to cross the Jordan River and to climb about 2,000 feet in elevation. That don't sound like very, very much, but let me tell you, that's a rugged trip. And it would have been easy for them to start making their way there and to stop and not complete the trip. But they continued. Her objective was not get close to home. Her objective was to get home. Repentance is the same way. Don't stop until you come all the way back. Too many times when we say, I want to go home, I want to go back where God is blessing, too many times we'll get part of the way there and stop and say, that's close enough. It's not. When we offer God repentance and decide to turn around and go the other direction, we got to keep walking that direction until we get to the place where God wants us to be. And where was it that He wanted them to be? To the city of God's praise. We're going to be looking at a lot of words and what they mean today because there's importance in these words. The word Judah means praise. Praise. They were going to the city of God's praise. Bethlehem was the place where the Lord was honored and exalted. And we know what happens not too much, 1,000 years from then. Bethlehem would find a very special occupant, wouldn't it? There was no praise, though, in Naomi's heart when she was in Moab. Nothing but bad happened to her in Moab. And God was calling her back to a city of praise. There are too many people out there today, saved, born again children of God, who are living lives that are so completely void of God's praise. They've forgotten what it was like to be in God's will and to have a peace in their heart that passeth all understanding. That child of God who is away from the Father's house cannot have a heart of praise. If you are away from God and His people and His house and in His will, you can't have a heart of praise. And nor can your life be honoring to the Lord, because you are so far away from where He wants you to be, and you're living in a land that God called a washpot, a thing you stick your stinking feet in to wash the dirt off. And that's where you're living, and He wants you to go from there to a land, a city of praise. Wants her to go to a city of God's presence. God had visited His people in Bethlehem. Now while Naomi was in Moab, she was far away from God's presence. And you know what? When a saint is away from the Lord's will, he cannot enjoy the presence of God. What do you mean? You mean, if you're constantly sinning, if your lifestyle is backslidden, if you're living in Moab, if you're not associating with God's people in this land, in this earth, if you're doing that, you can't enjoy His presence. I'm not saying He's not there. What I'm saying, you can't enjoy His presence. He is with you all the way. And if you're here today and you're backslidden so far, let me tell you something. When you have an encounter of God, it will not be pleasant. He will require you to change. He will want you to move from where you're at to go to a land of God's praise, to a land of God's presence. He wants you to enjoy being with Him. And when you're not where you're supposed to be, you're not going to enjoy being with God, because He wants you to be someplace else. Ask Jonah about what it was like to try to run from God, being where God didn't want him to be. When he confronted God, we know where he ended up. When a believer returns back to where God wants them to be, they can once again enjoy the blessed presence of the Lord. She was going to a city of God's provision. Do you know what Bethlehem means? The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of take bread for granted until I run out and I want that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I take it for granted. And when we're out of bread, there is a crisis in the house. There is. But we kind of take it for granted because we have so much other stuff to eat. Bread was what they ate. This was a staple. And in Moab, they were having trouble getting bread. They were having trouble just basically feeding themselves. And they were trying to... And so what we see here is Naomi saying, I'm going to where there is bread, where I can be fed. And it was in the city of Bethlehem that Naomi would find the best of God's provisions. It was there where she knew she could be fed. I'm going to go and be where I am fed. I'm just that way. I like eating. I like to be fed. And if I find myself in a position to where I can't find anything to eat, I will go where there is food. I will be here 2 weeks from today, because I know there'll be food. I'm going to go where I can be fed. And so it is with us. God's best blessings are reserved for those who will stay close to where He is working and where He can feed us spiritually. Not the sawdust of Moab, not the sawdust of this world, but the true meat and milk of His Word, where we can be fed. You say, Brother Randy, I can study God's Word on my own. I can know what God wants for me on my own, possibly. But when you add it to your backslidden condition, I will tell you something. You'll just read and you'll find what you want to find in Scripture instead of being convicted of what God wants for your life. I hear it over and over again, the justifications for people's sin and their backslidden conditions. And it is wrong. When God may confront you, He will confront you with the truth about who you are and how far back, how far gone you are. And when you do that, there is no justifying. And let me tell you, you'll not be in His praise, you'll not be in His presence, and you will not be able to partake of the bread that He wants to give you spiritually. He's sending her to a city of God's people. She returned to a place of kindred spirits and like-minded folks. When she was in Moab, she was around heathens. People who had no convictions whatsoever, no morals whatsoever about what how God had. There was no Ten Commandments to live by. And she was surrounded by these people. She was away from the people of God who believed just as she did, who trusted in God just as she did. In Moab, she was different. But in Bethlehem, she belonged. So it is with the wayward child of God. Can you think of those who have wandered away from the place where God meets with His people? Look around. Seriously, look around at the empty pews and remember the folks who used to sit there. And because of their backslidden condition, they no longer there. And it'd be different if they were going someplace else. But no, they have backslidden into the world. And they're thinking they're okay with God. And they're not. God wants to meet with people, but He is not going to bless you until you get out of Moab. He'll help you get out. He'll lead you out. But you must get out of Moab into the place that He wants you to be and with the people that He wants you to be with. Not the people of this world, but His people. Thank God that they, or even you, can come home again. And God allows that. The second part, we'll be going 19 and 21, it says, "And it happened that when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' But she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?'" Excited is a different word. And there's, let me give you kind of the idea of what's going on. The city was disturbed. Moved about them, excited, in an uproar. Naomi's return to Bethlehem alone and broke and in the company of a Gentile woman made news all over town. It's been 10 years and they come home. Look, it's not just the women, but I guess the guys did it too. But there was a lot of, "Did you hear about Naomi? She come home without any husband or sons, and she's got this strange Gentile woman, Moab woman, with her. What are we going to do? They're going to ruin the neighborhood." So what did she do when someone came up to her? It is the most awkward thing to be away and then to try to come back because you're wondering constantly, what are people thinking? Are they going to accept me? For those of you here today, when one of ours comes back home, I don't expect anything but our open arm welcome to them. Period. No judgments. Just a big hug and say, "Welcome home." But that's not what always happens. She spoke of God's providence. She said, "The Lord had brought me home again." She told of how the Lord worked to bring her home. That this wasn't her idea. That this was the Lord wanting her to do this. And I wonder how many times she had to tell of the death of her husband and her sons. And you know what? She looked around and she couldn't deny it, but Bethlehem was still her home. She said in Luke 15, he says, "I will return to my father's house," the prodigal son. when he looked up out of that pig pen and realized that I could be better off as a servant of my father, I'm just going to go home. I don't know how I'll be received, but I'm going to go home. It's got to be better than this. And she says, I will come back to my home, because she did not know how she would be received. She did not know how she was going to make a living. She didn't know how she was going to eat. She just knew that she was home. She was home. She spoke of God's punishment. Hath testified, hath afflicted. And she seems to blame all this on the Lord, but it was really it was a result of all their own choices. Her words reveal her heart. She says, I went out. Let me explain to you the deal with her name. Naomi, the word Naomi means pleasant. Do you know what Mara means? That's what she told them to call her, Mara. You know what that means? Bitter. Why are you calling me pleasant when I'm bitter? Just because they're home doesn't mean they're not broken anymore, okay? Just because they're back doesn't mean that all their problems are solved. Just because someone comes back and sits in a pew does not mean that everything's all right with them. That's where we come in. That's where we can help. She still thought that she was still bitter on the inside. Now, evidently, Elimelech was a wealthy man, her husband, when he left Bethlehem for Moab. She left full, but she came back empty. The Lord will fill you up, but the devil will empty you out. And God knows how to get our attention, doesn't he? She was down to nothing. If it wasn't for Ruth, she would have nothing. And then she spoke of God's patience in verse 21. She had brought about her own troubles, but the Lord worked hard in her life to bring her home. Why was it her? Why wasn't it Elimelech or her sons? Perhaps their hearts were hardened, fixed. But maybe Naomi was still teachable. Maybe there was a part of her heart that could still go back home. Maybe she had not allowed her heart to be hardened. And God had patience for 10 years. And now it was time. And she realized that he had patience with her. Let's look in verse 22. So Naomi returned. And Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. It was a time of blood. It was a time of barley harvest. It was also the time of the Passover. A time to shed the blood of the lamb and commemorate the deliverance of God's people from sin. The Passover. It's a picture of coming home through the blood. In 1 John, the first chapter, verse 7 through 10, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, next one. I just read that one. But anyway, thank God. Thank God. The blood of the Lamb is sufficient to take care of the sins of the wayward saint. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a way back home. There is a way back to God. It was a time of bounty. There's also a time of the feast of the first fruits. It's a Leviticus feast, and a time when the first of the barley harvest was offered in a wave offering before the Lord as a gratitude for the harvest that was about to be reaped. In other words, it was a blessing for what they were fixing to reap. And when the priest made the wave offering, he was saying this, this is just the first and there's more on the way. Jesus is presented as the first fruits from the dead in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In verse 23, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. He's the first fruit. It is always a time of harvest when a wandering child returns home. We talk a lot about people being saved and reaping the harvest. Let me tell you, there's a whole harvest out there of saved children of God who needs to come back home. And they need to come. We are harvesting. We are reaping. We are helping bring home those people who have fallen astray. It was a time of beginning. Naomi wanted her name changed to Mara. She may have been bitter in her heart. But you know what God told her? No, I'm going to call you Naomi. Because I've got some pleasant things ahead for you. Is this Naomi? When she came back, she was a shell of the person that she was. A bitter person who the dregs of life had just, you could just tell that life has just tore her apart. And they go, is this her? Isn't it sad when we see someone who has fallen so low and we see in the world just tear them apart and they no longer resemble the person that we knew because of sin? The bitterness in her heart. Probably totally opposite the way she was before she left. Let me tell you, the people there were amazed at her problems and her appearance. Sin brings along trouble. You cannot sin and not have troubles. But the Lord had told her that he was about to give her blessings and glories that she could not even imagine. While people may mourn over the troubles of the sinner, there is joy in heaven over a repentant sinner. In Luke 15:7, look what it says. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who needs no repentance. No, they may not be the person or the people that they once was or they could be. But repentance is not a one-time act. It is an everyday journey of keeping on going and going back to where they're supposed to be in life. And God has promised that no matter where you're at right now, that God has some blessings in store for your life. This problem, this situation in your life is temporary. If you'll just trust Him, if you'll just keep on going home, if you'll just make it there and then begin to trust in God when you get there, He has promised blessings and joy that you could never even imagine now in the troubles and trials that you're going through. Where is this message found you today? Where is it? I mean, has sin and worldly living stripped you of all the Lord has done in your life? Have you let this world take over? Are you eating more sawdust than you are spiritual food? Do you need a fresh start? Do you need to go back home? Have you been living in Moab and you need to go back home and you're worried about what you're going to find when you get there? I'll tell you what you're going to find. What you're going to find is you're going to find a city of God's praise. You're going to find a city of God's presence. You're going to find a city of God's provision. And you're going to find a city full of God's people that will love you and take care of you and lift you up and encourage you every step along the way till you get back to where God is blessing your life once again. No, this is not a prosperity message. This is not a message. This is a message of promise. that if you'll turn to the Lord, you'll give Him your heart and your life, that He'll bless you. He'll give you what you need in life. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ told of a story of a boy who left his father's house to find fun and adventure in the world. And when he'd lost everything he owned, he wound up a place that he thought he'd never be. And he decided to go home. What did he find when he went home? Well, what he found was a father that not only was ready to forgive him, love him, and restore him to a place of perfect blessing and fellowship, but one that ran out to meet him. One that went, saw him coming and went out with his arms wide open and said, "Come home, son." That's what he found. Is that what you need today? And if so, what you need is just steps away. You see, the first step is that step of getting on your knees and saying, "Lord, I want to come home." That's your first step. "Lord, I want to come home. I want my life to be one of blessings again. I want my life to be one of praise. I want my life to be one where I'm close to you again. I'm tired of living in a wash pot. And I want to come home." And the only person that can do that is when you turn around and you take the steps back toward home. Back on your knees. Talking to your Heavenly Father. And getting right with Him. And so will you come? Others need to come to the Lord for salvation. They don't know what it's like and what they've lost. You see, a saved child of God knows what they've lost. But someone who's never accepted Christ, they have no clue about how the greatness of God in their lives can be. And if you're here today and you don't know about how loving and kind and gracious and great our God is, let me tell you something. He is talking to your heart right now and He is wanting you to come home to Him today. And all you have to do is ask Him, "Lord, will you save me? I'm a miserable sinner. I'm dying. I'm going to hell. And I know that you're the only one that can save me." Will you ask Him to do that? And if you come to Him today, He will save you by His grace. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. Don't know your life. I don't know if you're eating spiritual sawdust or you're partaking of the meat of God's Word. But I do know that sin causes us to backslide. And you may be here today, you attend every church service, but you are just as backslidden as everybody else. Because you've allowed the world to come into your life and you've been eating nothing but spiritual sawdust. And you're starving for what God, the good things that God has for you to eat. Will you today make the decision to come home? Ask for forgiveness, repent of your sins, and say, "Lord, I want your blessings in my life once again." If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you've never asked Him to save your soul, I believe right now He's talking to your heart. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I believe that listen to Him, you'll never understand the love of God until you accept Him into your heart. So as we sing today, it's going to be up to you to make the decision whether you return home or not, or where you're at spiritually. So as we sing, would you follow where God is leading you?